Strong, and this is VOA One The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, John Russell has a story about France's most famous street artist. Brian Lynn has the science reports on new data about Jupiter's moon Europa. Later, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the lesson of the day. But first, Andrew and Jill read one of the winning entries from our Teach Us About Ukraine writing contest.
Hello, everyone. My name is Natalia Lavrik. I am an English teacher from Ukraine. I would like to introduce you to my country, its beautiful nature, and very hardworking and friendly people, who most of all want peace, freedom, and independence.
As the world watches Ukraine's fight for freedom, its soldiers have become a symbol of unbreakable resistance. For Ukrainians, nothing represents that spirit more than the giant stones in the Carpathian Mountains called Dovbush Rocks. Located on the border of Ivano-Frankivsk and Lviv areas, Dovbush Rocks covers about 100 hectares. The website vidvide.ua says the volcanic giant stones once rested at the bottom of the ancient sea. They are now surrounded by green forests. Named a national monument in 1981, they are seen as a place of power and are popular with visitors seeking a mystical experience. The rocks are named after Oleksa Dovbush, a Robin Hood-like figure, who used them as a hideout in the 18th century. As a leader of a group of rebels, he fought against the oppressive forces that ruled the area. The rocky terrain, with its numerous caves and narrow passages, provided the perfect refuge for Dovbush and his followers. Ancient storytellers said that Oleksa was killed by the husband of his former lover, Dzhvinka, who turned into a rock for her betrayal. And Oleksa's body was dismembered and spread throughout the mountains.
Last summer, I visited this mysterious place with my students from the Lyceum of Otiniya, a school for students ages 6 to 17. The energy of this place is impossible to forget. We felt there was a special force that inspired us to do great things and build our inner strength. The path through the cave is so narrow that at times, it may seem that there is no way out. In some places, the distance between the rocks is very narrow, only 20 to 30 centimeters wide. In the caves between the rocks, it gets darker, and you can hear the rustling of bats' wings and the echo of dripping water. Above the cave is an unusual rock in the image of a lion. Visitors can climb on top of the lion to see the beautiful view of Prikarpadja and look for their hopes and dreams on a wishing stone.
According to folk legend, the lion is there to guard Dovbush's buried treasure, which no one has been able to find yet. It is said that after Dovbush's death, his fellow rebels hid gold taken from tavern keepers and merchants in the Odnets cave. The entry to the cave is covered by a rotating stone. One needs to say a magic word to turn the stone and open a passage to the cave. The person who knew that magic word died long ago, so the gold has been lying under the rock for more than 100 years. Another mysterious place is Devil's Gorge. Only 20 centimeters wide, the gorge is difficult to get through. People put a lot of effort into getting through this narrow gap because, as legend has it, they could be set free of sin. For Ukrainians, Dovbush Rocks represents both the power of nature and the resilience of the human spirit. The rock formation inspires us to rethink our place in nature and our culture and history. It is a beautiful place where everyone should experience all its magic for themselves. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
When visitors come to Paris for the Olympic Games starting in July, they will be entering the territory of France's most famous street artist, Invader. It will be one invasion coming face to face with another. Like Banksy, the British street artist he is sometimes compared to, Invader does not want his identity to be publicly known. Sometimes working close to the edge of illegality, Invader comes, does his art, and disappears into the night. He leaves behind mosaics made mostly with small ceramic and glass tiles. Many of the mosaics look like the aliens from the Space Invaders video game. Others are very complex portrayals of fruit, or, in New York, of Lou Reed and Andy Warhol. Some of his artworks come from popular culture, including Spider-Man, Star Wars, Bugs Bunny, Ninja Turtles, pizza, and others. Some artworks suggest deep research, including a portrait of guitarist Django Reinhardt facing the house where he lived, south of Paris in Saint-Mois-sur-Seine. Since the first recorded mosaic of a blue space invader went up on a Paris street in 1998, numbered PA1, Invader has taken over the world. There are now more than 4,000 of his mosaics in cities and towns on all continents, except Antarctica. London, Tokyo, Los Angeles, and other cities were invaded in 1999, New York and Geneva and more in 2000, Hong Kong in 2001, Berlin, Bangkok, Melbourne, on. The 4,000th mosaic was glued to a brick wall in Potosi, 4,000 meters up in the Bolivian Andes in 2021. The European Space Agency installed Invader's Space 2 mosaic aboard the International Space Station in 2015. Anytime, anywhere is the philosophy, Invader says on his website. In Paris, by far his most invaded area, the artist's footprint is larger than ever as the Olympics draw closer. A new public showing in a multi-story building has one of his works on its roof, visible via satellite on Google Maps. With a telescope, the show's visitors can also look across Paris to Invader's 1,500th mosaic in the city and surrounding areas. Announced in February, PA-1500 is glued outside a chimney of the Pompidou Center. Unlike many of his other artworks, Invader got the center's permission to put the red and white Space Invader alien into place. It's a symbol. It's number 1,500. It's Paris, said Alexandre Omi, the building's security director. He added, it's got to be here. Some of those who know Invader say they are expecting him to spring more surprises for the Olympics, perhaps installing new mosaics related to the games. Fabrice Bousteau is the editor of Beaux-Arts magazine. He said, the invasion is the 15 million people who are going to arrive in Paris for the Olympic Games. It's a lot. Obviously, there will be Invader fans among them. Bousteau, who also directed Invader's latest public showing, added, so there will be this meeting between two cultures. He will doubtless invade the games in a different way. I am almost certain. I'm John Russell.
Study suggests Jupiter's icy moon Europa produces much less oxygen than previously thought. The study was based on data collected by the American Space Agency, NASA's Juno spacecraft. Juno is an orbiter that has been studying Jupiter since July 2016. The study involved Juno's instruments measuring levels of oxygen and hydrogen molecules coming from Europa's atmosphere. The data showed the icy moon produces about 1,000 tons of oxygen every 24 hours. NASA said that amount would be enough to keep a million humans breathing for a day. However, the space agency noted those oxygen level estimates were substantially less than those measured in earlier studies about the moon. Europa is a little smaller than Earth's moon, but it is still one of the largest in our solar system. NASA observations have suggested an ocean exists beneath a thick layer of ice on Europa's surface. Scientists estimate the moon's ocean may contain twice the amount of water as Earth's oceans. The new study is based on data Juno collected in 2022 during a particularly close flyby of Europa. The flyby is believed to have brought the spacecraft within 350 kilometers of the moon. The research was led by teams from Princeton University in New Jersey and Maryland's Southwest Research Institute. The scientists estimated Europa is producing around 12 kilograms of oxygen per second. Earlier predictions suggested the moon was releasing up to 1,000 kilograms per second. Since Europa is believed to have a large ocean under its surface, researchers in the past identified it as a good candidate to hold the right conditions to support some form of life. That data came mainly from telescope observations of oxygen levels existing in the moon's icy surface. The new lower oxygen estimates do not support the earlier observations. The team involved in the study said more research will be needed to confirm the latest findings. Scott Bolton is a Juno investigator at the Southwest Research Institute and a co-writer of the study. He said in a statement that the team's new findings have a direct effect on the possibility that Europa could be habitable. While the oxygen amounts measured were much lower, the latest study gives scientists a narrow range that could support habitability, Bolton said. Princeton University researcher Jamie Saleh was the study's lead writer. He said the findings unambiguously demonstrate oxygen is continuously produced at the surface, just a good bit lower than we expected. Saleh added that Juno's flyby of Europa marked the first time a spacecraft was able to directly measure the moon's atmosphere. We couldn't wait to peek behind the curtain of its complex environment, he wrote to the Associated Press in an email. The researchers said the new measurements can help scientists gain a better understanding of Europa and its environment, and open the door for newer, more precise models. Robert Ebert is a researcher at the Southwest Research Institute and a co-writer of the study. He said that even with the new results, he believes further investigations should take place to search for signs of life on Europa. Water is important for the existence of life. Europa is a good place to search for water within our solar system. NASA hopes to launch its Europa Clipper mission in October. This orbiter is designed to carry out close examinations of Europa. It will look for signs it might hold the right conditions to support life. NASA says the orbiter plans to fly in orbit around Jupiter and perform repeated close flybys of the ice moon. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn is here now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for joining me, Brian.
Sure, Dan. Glad to be here.
This week, your report described new findings about one of Jupiter's moons, Europa. The research appears to show the moon is giving off a lot less oxygen than previously thought. Why were these latest measurements so different from past estimates?
Yes, and the researchers said they too were surprised by the latest findings, because the differences were far greater than they had expected. But they also noted these should be much more accurate because they were based on actual measurements of molecules coming from Europa's atmosphere. And these were captured by NASA's Juno orbiter, which got very close to the moon during a flyby in 2022. So while the researchers are quite confident about the new measurements, they also said additional studies will be necessary to confirm their latest findings.
The report mentions another NASA spacecraft could be heading to Europa later this year. What can you tell us about that mission?
Yes, that's right. That will be NASA's Europa Clipper. And while the Juno orbiter is centered on collecting data on Jupiter itself, the Clipper spacecraft will focus on Europa. As was mentioned in the report, Europa is believed to contain a large ocean under the moon's surface. And previous studies have concluded that because of this ocean, Europa might have the right conditions to support life forms. So this will be Clipper's main purpose, to look for signs of that possible life. And certainly one aspect of this will also be to take new measurements of the oxygen levels around this moon.
All right. Thanks again for joining me, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you, Dan.
Is Anna Mateo.
And my name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
In this part of the Learning English broadcast, you will hear us explain and help you do more with the language from our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna in her work and life in Washington, D.C. Let's hear the rest of Anna's introduction.
I am from a small town. It is nice, but there is no good job for me. Goodbye, small town, and hello, Washington, D.C. I want to learn about Washington. You want to learn English. Let's learn together. Let's learn English.
At the beginning of the series, Anna and the people she meets use short sentences and say each word clearly. As the series continues, the sentences get longer and more advanced.
However, there are things you can learn from the first lessons in the series, even if you are not a beginner. For example, you can learn how to use word stress. Isn't that right, Jill?
That is right.
Jill, you did pronounce that sentence just the way I wanted you to, because today we are listening for the ways native speakers make sure that the things they say are clear. To do that, we simply say a word a bit louder and longer. This is what we call word stress.
Let's listen to Anna meet Pete in Lesson 1 of Let's Learn English.
Hi, are you Anna?
Yes. Hi there, are you Pete?
I am Pete.
Normally, we simply say I'm instead of I am when we introduce ourselves. Like when I said earlier, I'm Jill Robbins.
That's right. But sometimes we will say I am instead of I'm when we want to be very clear. In the video, this is the first time Pete meets Anna. And to make it clear to beginners of English, he says, I am.
So should people learning to speak English always say I am instead of I'm?
No. In fact, I'm is much more common. But the idea is that we can choose to separate words and put stress on them to show that they are important and to make things very easy to understand. For example, if I ask Jill if it's fun to teach English, she can say,
it is fun to teach.
You can hear that it is fun to teach sounds a little stronger than it's fun to teach. Now, let's listen to another Let's Learn English example of this stress on small words.
In Lesson 5, Anna and her friend Marcia are visiting a friend's house. Anna thinks the kitchen is beautiful, and Marcia agrees. Listen to how Marcia makes it clear.
Marcia, I am in the kitchen. It is a beautiful kitchen.
It is beautiful.
Marcia makes the word is longer and louder.
It is beautiful.
And I noticed that Anna stressed the word beautiful.
It is a beautiful kitchen.
So we can stress long words or short words. Many times, the short words are forms of the verb be. For example, the three words am, is, are. Let's hear another example. This one from Lesson 7. It is Anna's first day at work, and she is excited to meet people. See if you can notice where Anna adds stress when she speaks.
Are you excited?
Yes, I am excited.
Hi there, I'm Anna.
Hi Anna, I'm Anne.
Nice to meet you. What are you doing?
I'm writing.
You are writing.
Did you hear the stress on the verb be when Anna said am and are?
I did hear it. Let's play those sentences again for our listeners.
Yes, I am excited. You are writing.
I hope our listeners can hear how we add the stress to these words. And Jill, you just used stress to make it clear to me.
That's true. I did use stress. Instead of saying I heard it, I said I did hear it.
Grammatically, Jill did not have to use the word did because she was not asking a question, nor was she making a statement negative. But native speakers sometimes add the words do or did simply to make their meaning stronger or clearer.
Can you give our listeners another example?
Sure. Instead of just saying, I like to watch football, I can say, I do like to watch football. By adding the word do, I'm simply making my statement a little bit stronger and trying to make it very clear that my statement is, in fact, true.
That means you are adding a little emphasis to your statement.
That's right. Emphasis means extra importance that we add to a statement, activity, or idea. Emphasis is spelled E-M-P-H-A-S-I-S.
Emphasis is the noun form. The verb form is emphasize. It means to add importance or show that something is important.
That's right. But if you don't want to say the word emphasize, you can just use the phrasal verb draw one's attention to something.
Like we want to draw our listeners' attention to the Let's Learn English series of lessons on VOA Learning English.
Exactly. Well, Jill, I think we've emphasized everything we wanted our listeners to learn today. Do you agree?
I do agree.
That's great. You're very agreeable today.
I'm just trying to help everyone learn about word stress.
I think you've been very helpful, and I'm sure our listeners will agree. Be sure to listen next time for more lessons on the Learning English broadcast. I'm Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.